This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are inside the Lynn District Court, and we are joined by First Justice, the Honorable Ina Howard Hogan. Judge, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, I got to tell you, when I've heard you speak twice, I've said to myself, this is someone I have to share with our audience here at MSO News Sports. So I'm raising the bar pretty high on you today here for this. So, but I think you'll be able to hurdle over it without any problems whatsoever. So, Judge, first up, tell us your story growing up in the city of Lynn and now ending up here in Lynn District Court.
Yes.
As a judge.
Understood. I said, I was born and raised here in Lynn, the youngest of six kids, raised by a single mom. I was a participant in the Upward Bound program, knowing that school was going to be a way for me to better myself. And so I, Lynn English High School graduate, went to Boston College, Northeastern University Law School, and then I had various jobs. I came back to the city of Lynn to be a prosecutor, which was very interesting because there were so many people at that time who were like, are you sure you want to go to the DA's office? You're putting people in jail. You're putting people away. And, you know, I thought long and hard about that because, you know, what the community and what my friends and family thought. And I was like, well, listen, if everybody goes to that one side, the defense side, who is there to be the voice of reason? If you want to look at it that way, on the prosecutorial side. So it was great. And so I had that opportunity to come back to the Lynn District Court to be a prosecutor. And I did that for at least 2 or 3 years. And then I left to go to federal probation, which was a great job. It gave me the opportunity to see the federal side. I left there to go to the Attorney General's office. From the Attorney General's office, I went to the parole board. The parole board was probably one of the toughest jobs I've had, going in and out of the institution, seeing a lot of young people in the institutions, the difficulties that folks are going through, and, you know, just thinking that that's the easy route to lock people up. And after the parole board, I was elevated to the bench. So what brings me back to Lynn, here sitting in the Lynn District Court, I started as a judge in Malden, the Malden District Court, and I had the opportunity to work with great judges and to learn about the recovery session, specialty courts that we have here in the trial court system. And I was very interested in being part of the specialty courts because that was more of the type of judge I wanted to be, to get off the bench, to go into the community, to meet people, to let people know who I was, that I wasn't someone born with a silver spoon in my mouth, that I was, you know, went through some of the same adversities that they experienced, dealing with, you know, poverty, dealing with being in communities where, you know, there is huge adversity. I wanted that to be projected on the bench. So I was in Malden for a bit. I had the opportunity to go to Chelsea and then come back to the Lynn District Court. And you think about coming back to Lynn as a judge, you know, prior to being a prosecutor was one thing, but coming as a judge, what could I do? You know, and it was amazing because I focused on the young people in the city, which was and is to this day one of my favorite things about being a judge, going into the schools, talking to the young people, letting them know I wasn't a straight-A student, but I also was a student who was determined to make my education work for me. And so, you know, just letting them know that there is a way out. You look at the city, you think, you know, people like, oh, you were from Lynn. No, that's it. There's pride in that. There's pride. The diversity that you have in the city, the opportunities that are in the city, and you can always come back to help someone else. So that's, I'm in the Lynn District Court. I came back here, like I said, and at one point I got the opportunity to go to the Cambridge District Court to be the first justice in Cambridge, which was great. It was great. It, you know, as a first justice, you are the manager of the court. And, which, you know, as a people person that I am, it was a great opportunity to talk to people, to make sure that the court was running smooth. But they also had a recovery session, a mental health session, and a homeless court that I presided over. And although I did that and loved it, I always thought we need something like this in Lynn, which we don't have. We didn't have. We didn't have. So I was torn, going back and forth. I'd leave Lynn to go to Cambridge every day because I stayed in Lynn. Mm-hmm. And I was torn. And I'm like, you know what? I want to go back. And thankfully, the managers at the trial court allowed me to come back to Lynn to start the first mental health session here in this court. And it's been amazing. So we started that. It's been almost 2 years now that we had the mental health session here in the city, and I preside over that session. And this year, in February, I became the first justice of the Lynn District Court. So now that's where I currently preside.
You mentioned specialty courts. So what are specialty courts?
So in the district court, there are courts sessions that specially handle certain matters. So there's the veterans court, there's the mental health session, there's the recovery court, there's the homeless court. So those sessions specifically deal with individuals that have that is mainly their issue. Mm-hmm. So they don't look like the regular sessions that you see in court. The participants will meet regularly with the judge. So for the mental health session, specifically here in Lynn, we meet every other week. The recovery session, which deals with substance abuse, they meet every other week. So it's more intense. There are city stakeholders that are all part of that. So the Lynn Police, the services, the social service agencies that are in the city, we all meet to help individuals deal with the issues, particularly in my court. The session is the mental health session. So we all meet to help with these individuals to make sure that they're taking their medications, that they know the resources that are available in the city. So it's a great opportunity, and you're changing lives.
So these are kind of, it would be a mandated court kind of a thing to some extent, and yet not.
Correct. So what would happen is if you, it's post-disposition, so there are folks who are on probation that are actually sentenced to or as part of their condition of probation, they would be a part of these mental health sessions or the specialty court session. Mm-hmm. However, the key is that you have to agree to participate in the session. We force no one to be in the sessions because then it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for what we're trying to do. So that is your probation, and so your incentives to go are there. You know, of course, you're getting time with the judge, you're getting time with the stakeholders in the community, you're getting resources that you normally would not have. But there's also the ability for the judge to then could maybe even look at your sentence, and you may be off probation a lot earlier than you thought. So there are incentives to be part of these specialty courts.
Now, having said being just the first justice since February here in Lynn, do you have plans to move this court in different directions moving forward?
Well, I think the direction would definitely be to make sure that we enhance the specialty courts to have more participants. We'll get more. As of right now, I believe there are 10 participants, particularly in the mental health, so we want to expand that to make sure we continue to expand the recovery session. And just to have restorative justice programs, anything that can deal with the community is exactly what we want to do here. The community contacts, dealing with the police, dealing with the defense bar, dealing with City Hall. We want to make sure that we have that community involvement with the court having that.
All right. So, tell us about the cases that you see here in Lynn District Court that you would preside over, other than the ones you just kind of described to us.
So generally, the cases that we have are the misdemeanor-type matters, assault and battery, motor vehicle offenses, operating under the influence-type cases, larceny cases. And then, you know, of course, with everything that's going on in the city right now, we've seen an uptake in charges for guns. And so, which, you know, that's extremely concerning. And the trial court, and particularly this court as well, has made a concerted effort to make sure that we address those cases dealing with young people with violence and where the guns, and making sure that we're getting those cases through the system as quickly as possible. Meaning, you have a trial, excuse me, you have an arraignment that you come in for a case dealing with guns, that we're making sure that those cases are on a track, that they are dealt with in a timely manner.
So coming from different areas of the law, as a prosecutor for one, opposed to being a judge now, how valuable do you think that is for you to see the big picture or see other points of views or to put it all together, knowing the system, if you will?
It's extremely valuable. I can say that I've had the distinct opportunity to go from the beginning of the system to the end of the system, meaning that I started as a clerk in the probation department, which would be the beginning of the system. I worked through as an assistant district attorney, as you indicated, and then I saw as parole, and now as a judge. Having that experience is invaluable. And you would think that, you know, oh, you learn these legal, you know, all this stuff, the legal background. That's not it. It's really learning about people, learning how to talk to people, learning that golden rule to teach people, treat people the way you want to be treated. And not always easy, not always easier said than done in a lot of cases. But through each and every position that I've had, to be able to take that, and I think makes me the judge that I am today. Somebody who's in this community, somebody who cares about the community and about the people in the community. Therefore, that goes into how I rule on the bench. You know, following the law, absolutely, but also making sure that there's that mercy, that there's the times where, you know, we do have the restorative justice that I talked about, where, you know, you're looking at the victims in these cases and understanding that for victims, understanding the defendants understanding the victims, and just, you know, how some of these crimes start or come about. And so it's interesting having all of those areas that I've had, you know, and experiences do come into play.
The courts and even prosecutors and even now with judicial reform and so on that's taken place at the state level, it's a different ballgame than it was 30 years ago. And it's much more complicated, but the issues are much more complicated. But it's more solution-based than maybe, verdict-based. You know what I'm saying? So that would make sense to you, right?
Yes, no, absolutely. Because, you know, you have, as I indicated, the restorative justice piece, but you also have the understanding that the folks that you're sentencing to, they're coming back to the community. They're coming back to you. So do you want someone who's, you know, you just put in jail and you kind of throw folks away? Or there's programming. There's that reentry piece. You know, there are people who have, you know, in the district court, 2.5 years, plus years, your sentence. What happens after that time? What's going on in these facilities? And those are the things I think are extremely important. You know, do you have the probationary period or somebody to assist you once you're out of incarceration? And that's key, I definitely think, because the majority of individuals are not serving life sentences. They're coming back out into these communities. And we want to make sure that you're not coming back out with the mindset that, you know, oh, I've learned to commit crimes or more crime in the facility. You're coming out with the mindset that I want to be an abiding, law-abiding citizen, and these are the things that I want to do. And I've learned this through reentry programs.
Exactly. The other, you know, the reentry programs or the services that they receive while incarcerated, if you will, have also evolved and changed over the years as well. What is the coordination, you know, among the judges, say, even right here in Lynn District Court or regionally among judges? Is there coordination, communication, consultation? What happens with the judges?
So each region has its own unique issues that you're dealing with. And so not so much among the judges, it's more the judges in each court. So dealing with specific issues. So particularly for the Lynn District Court, we are mental health and substance abuse intensive. We partner with the agencies that are in the community, also with the House of Corrections, with the, like I said, the local police. We partner with these agencies to make sure that we know what's actually in the community. So you don't just sentence someone to jail. You sentence someone to if probation, but you also need to know what is available to help someone that's on probation. And so that's pretty much. And there may be agencies or maybe services that, you know, we may have here on the North Shore that you don't have in you know, the Boston Municipal Courts or out in the Berkshires. And so, you know, that may be the discussion that we have with the other judges to say, you know, oh, well, you may want to look at these types of resources. So that's the type of discussion. But it is pretty much based on, you know, the area. And some, you know, areas have needs that we don't need, that Lynn doesn't, you know, really have. So it depends on where you are.
You mentioned right off from the start how you enjoy going into the schools and talking with the students. So let me just focus in on that, because I think that does energize you. I'm guessing that. And that. So tell me, what are your messages that you bring to students, and what are you hearing back from students? Because I'm sure you're doing a lot of listening while you're in there as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the message one is particularly for the Lynn District Court, opening the doors to the Lynn District Court, letting young people know about the criminal justice system, letting them know about certain crimes that, you know, affect them, because we, you know, generally go to the high schools and there's, you know, the bullying issue there. There's also the cyberbullying and, you know, these young people with the cell phones and the delete button. What does that really mean? Delete is never delete. And you know, things that they just don't think about. And, you know, the consequences of your actions and coming from somebody with the robe on, it's very interesting to see the reaction. And I present the message. I generally go in, you know, without my robe on and talk to the young people and tell them a little bit about myself, because I think you should always know that person who's before you, who's speaking. And eventually, while I'm speaking to them, I actually put on the robe. That moment with these young people, seeing the robe go on, and they're just like, oh my God, you're really a judge. You're really a judge. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And then they have questions. How did you do it? And there's no magic button. You stay to the course. You don't let people tell you that it can't be done. And that is one of the messages, the key message that I tell the young people, is that if I can do this, you definitely can have anything or do anything that you want to do. And so, you know, those are the messages to stay, you know, very positive, understanding where we are. I let them know that I myself, you know, as a young person in Lynn, as I indicated, dealing with adversity, I understand. I fully understand, you know, when, you know, mom is working several jobs, that there's sometimes is not enough to eat, that, you know, there's certain things for clothing that you may want, that, you know, your peers have, and the power of getting your own or making your own way. I had a job when I was 15 years old. You have to do these things. And so just talking to them and getting the message that, you know, I am just Ina Howard Hogan. that's me. And letting them know that I'm still in the city. I'm here, that we leave the court doors open anytime you want to come visit the court to see how things work in the criminal justice system. We are here.
Did they ever ask you for legal advice?
actually, it's interesting, because no, they don't ask for legal advice. It's always a relative. I have a relative that, you know, did X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, we won't get into specifics, but, you know, generalizing and giving them some information. But I think my best feeling is when the young people come to visit the court and we're able to role play and watching them and just amazed at how just bright and how quick they are on their feet. When I'm like, you know, I pull them out of the audience. Okay, you're going to be a defense attorney. You're going to be a prosecutor. You're going to be a witness. I'm going to give you a simple case. I generally do like a shoplifting case, something that's... And it's amazing watching these young people actually have a mock trial. Yeah. So, yes.
I'm guessing that, you know, that there's an advantage to having them having watched television or movies from the courtroom, from, you know, legal battles and so on. But yet, do you point out the differences, I mean, between what is in the movies or television and what happens in Lynn District Court?
Absolutely, because, you know, even for, you said the students, even jurors that come in, and it's just like, well, wait a minute, where is this? I was like, no, this is not a TV show. Everything isn't solved within, you know, 1 hour period of time, or one day as it's, you know, put on the TV. And so, you know, for the young people that come in, they're always interested in where the gavel is. Where's the thing that you slam down, which is very rarely in the court. So it is seeing the real life of how the court actually functions. It's, it's amazing for the young people to experience that. And like you say, not even just the young people. We have jurors that come in who are, you know, they want to talk to you after the jury trials because they have questions about, wow, I thought, you know, this might have happened or that might have happened. But it's interesting, and I think it's a huge education piece, and we all should have it to understand the criminal justice system and how it works.
All right. Is there anything else you want to share with us that I haven't asked you about, either about you going around Lynn, meeting with people, Lynn District Court, other things?
No, well, you know, I will just say, because I get this smile for the past couple of weeks now, that it's nice to see a legacy. And everything that I've gone through as a young person in this city and being able to come up and be the first justice of the Lynn District Court, I now can say that I have my son who just passed the bar exam, who has, you know, the intention to continue on the legacy. Hopefully will end up with a robe someday, even though he says that's not what he'd like to do. But it's just amazing, an amazing feeling. I never thought that he wanted to be an attorney. And now he will be, and it's a great feeling.
Absolutely. Terrific. Well, Judge, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for your time and for sharing these insights with us. First Justice, the Honorable Ina Howard Hogan from the Lynn District Court. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com.